So as promised, we're going to discuss a very crucial section of Mishlei today, one that is familiar to us from our davening, which is Etz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba V'Tomchaha Me'ushar. We're going to try and understand really what we have in mind and why this received such a prominent place in our tefillah. I think one of the first parts of davening that people really learn because of the prominence it has in our Seder is we do it when we put back the Torah, is Etz Chaim. So I just want to try and understand it from a variety of different perspectives. The first is obviously in the context of Sefer Mishlei. So if you take a look at source 1, I want to show the context in which this Pasuk first appears. Mishlei writes, Ashrei Adam Matza Chochma, how praiseworthy is the person who finds wisdom, Ve'adam Yafik Tibuna, and the person who has obtained understanding. So the context is clearly one where we're discussing Chochma and Tibuna, wisdom. Kitov Sachra Mischar Kasef, because its worth is worth more than silver, Umecharutz Tibuata, and its fruit yields more than even gold. Yikarahi Mipninim, it is more precious than the most precious jewels, V'chol Chavatzecha Lo Yishvuba, and all of your objects cannot compare to it, meaning to Chachma and Tvuna. Orech Yamim Bimina, long life is to its right, Bismola Usher V'chavod, on its left is wealth and honor, Derachaha Derchei Noam, V'chol Netivotah Shalom, its paths are the paths of pleasantness and all its pathways are peace. That will be our topic next week. It's Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba. It is a tree of life for those who are Machzik it. And we're going to define exactly what Machazik means. Machazik is a very special word. We have to hold and to hold tightly, Bella. To really hold as tight as possible. V'tomcheha, and those who support it, Me'ushar, should be praised. This little section of Mishlei, you should know, is it's a little section of six psukim. It begins with the word Ashrei and it ends with the word Ashrei. It's a chiastic structure of six psukim, Ashrei and Me'ushar. Shlomo HaMelech was writing this in a very poetic way. So the pasuk again says, "It's Chaim Hi L'machazikim ba." What is ba? We know that ba, based on the context of the psukim that we read, is those who hold on to her, or those who hold on to it, namely, chachma. We're talking about wisdom. So we're saying that wisdom, for those who truly hold on to it, is a tree of life. And those who support wisdom, tomcheha mi'ushar, should be praised. So the first thing that we're going to have to define is, number one, what does chayim mean? Eitz chayim. What does that mean? It's an Eitz Chaim. You have to understand what exactly that means. It's a tree of life for those who hold on to it. And the second thing we're going to have to define is, what does Machazik mean? What does it mean to hold on to it? Again, this is like a very central pasuk in our tradition. And so we want to understand what all the terms are. So we're going to proceed precisely and rigorously, simply through this pasuk, Etz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba V'Tomcha Me'ushar, to understand exactly the implications of this pasuk, and hopefully, understanding it in a more rigorous way will not take away, God forbid, from how much it means to us in the course of our tefillah, but really only add. So the Gemara in Masachas Tainis and Daf Zayin really addresses both questions. Number one, what is Machazikim, and number two, what is Chaim? What does it mean that it's an Eitz Chaim? So if you take a look at source 2, the Gemara says as follows. Tanya, we have a Braisa. Hayu Rabbi Bina'a Omer. Rabbi Bina'a used to say, Kol ha'osek b'Torah lishma. Anybody who studies Torah for its own sake, because he wants to come closer to God, he wants to be a better person. Torato na'aseit lo sam chayim. His Torah is for him like a sam chayim, which means an elixir or a potion of life. It's like literally, in his involvement with Torah gives him more life, more vitality, more energy. Shene'emar, And which pasuk does the Gemara quote? It's Chaim hi lamachazikim ba. It is an Eitz Chaim for those who hold on to it. This is crucial. So how has the Gemara, how has Chazal defined the word machazikim in the pasuk? The Gemara has defined that as those who cling to Torah lishma. In other words, what Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim ba means, not just those who are involved with Torah, but it's only an Eitz Chaim for you if you relate to Torah lishma. If you relate to Torah as a way of getting closer to God and as a way of being a better person. It's not an Eitz Chaim if you approach Torah in another way. And just the opposite. If you take a look at the second to last line in the source, the Chol HaOsek B'Torah Shelo Lishma, and if you involve yourself in Torah not for its own sake, and Tosfos here on the Gemara says Shelo Lishma means to be argumentative, to learn things so that you can demonstrate, you know, let's say, how either foolish the Torah is, how foolish other people are. The term Tosfos uses is lekanter.
Could that be just as an intellectual exercise?
So Tosfos Dafka says that if you do it as an intellectual exercise, then the general principle of mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma should apply. So it's probably talking about something worse, but Bella, just hang on to that. I'm going to come back to it in a second, because I agree with you. V'chol ha'osek v'torah shelo lishma na'aseis lo sam ha'mavis. Not only is Torah not an Eitz Chaim, but if you involve yourself with Torah, shelo lishma, meaning for some other purpose, and according to Tosfos it means to be argumentative, lekanter, we're going to come back to Bella's suggestion in a minute, not only is it not a sam chayim, but it's worse. It's worse than not studying Torah at all. It's like a potion of death. And the Gemara goes on to prove that. So, the Gemara has told us two things. Number one, what does it mean, l'machazikim ba? That means for those whose connection to Torah is based on wanting to be closer to Hashem and to be a better person. Lishma, for its own sake. And what does Chayim mean? Eitz Chayim? The Gemara defined that in very clear terms. Sam HaChayim, meaning it literally becomes a potion of life, a source of life and vitality. So I think we have to understand that a little bit better. And the way that I would explain this and explain the whole Gemara is that what the Gemara is really saying is if you cling to Torah for its own sake, it's chayim hila machazikim ba. If you truly cling to Torah for its own sake, because you want to get closer to Hashem, you want to be a better person, you want to lead a more purposeful, meaningful, value-oriented life, then Torah and the study of Torah will be your constant companion, and it will be a great source of life for you. Every time you engage in Torah, you'll learn more, you'll become more knowledgeable, you'll sharpen your values, you'll become a better person, literally na'aseis lo sam chayim. However, as Bella said, if your involvement with Torah is just so that you can be intellectual, or to demonstrate how bright you are, or how knowledgeable you are, not only will it not, you know, be an Eitz Chaim for you, but it will be just the opposite. It will make your life so much worse. And I think what that means, and I'm interpreting here, but this is what I think it means, is that if your involvement with Torah is to demonstrate how intelligent you are, how much you know, Torah will be a sam mavis for you, it will be a potion of death, because it will make your life so much worse, because it will be the most humbling experience in the world. You'll start learning and you'll think, oh, I'm going to show how bright I am. You'll quickly realize how much more other people know than you, how you can never fully master Torah, how oftentimes you'll feel very humbled and overwhelmed and not up to the task. And so if your whole point is to self-aggrandize, Torah will for you be a sam hamavis. It will be a potion of death because it'll make you feel less good about yourself. It'll make you feel less adequate. You'll quickly realize just how much you don't know. However, if your involvement with Torah is as one of the machazikim ba, lishma, those who truly cling to Torah for its own sake, to get closer to Hashem and become a better person, then every time you engage with Torah, you're furthering that goal. You're enhancing not just your knowledge, but much more importantly, your quality of life, your sense of perspective, values, sense of purpose, sense of belonging to the Jewish people, both present and the historical community, all these things will be furthered. For those who are interested in pursuing it further, there's another Gemara, the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Samach Beis, which really furthers this concept, namely that Lamachazikimba is probably best interpreted as those who cling to Torah Lishma. So what we've established so far is one thing about the Pasuk, Eitz Chaim hi Lamachazikimba. How does Torah function as an Eitz Chaim? Only for those who are interested in Torah for its own sake, as a way to come closer to Hashem. It's not an Eitz Chaim for those who involve themselves with it Shelo Lishma, which Tosfos defines rather liberally, meaning just as those who are doing it Lekanter, to be difficult or argumentative, but the pshat, and I think Bella has the pshat here, is even those who do it as an intellectual activity will quickly find it overwhelming, and it will, in fact, in certain cases, make them feel much worse about themselves if the whole point is to self-aggrandize. Okay. Now the Gemara also indicated, what does Eitz Chaim mean? It will be a Sam Chaim. It will increase your sense of vitality. I wanted to bring another pasuk which comes to mind in this connection, a very famous pasuk. We also say it every time we take out the Torah. V'atem hadvekim b'adonai Eloheichem. What does the pasuk say? Chaim kulchem hayom. If you truly cling to God, hadvekim, what will the result be? Chaim. And we have the same concept here. If you're truly machazik, what will the result be? Eitz Chaim. So in both cases, we have similar words. Atem hadvekim v'hamachazikim. If you cling to Torah for its own sake, then the result will be your quality of life will increase, your sense of purpose, your sense of mission, your sense of perspective, all these things will be rewarded, your quality of life will increase. Eitz Chaim hi v'machazikim v'am. And likewise, v'atem hadvekim v'hashem elokeichem. If you're truly davek to Hashem, which again implies a very high level of clinging, chayim kochel hayom. You will always feel very alive. Okay, so what we've established is the meaning of chayim, meaning quality of life, sense of purpose and perspective, and machzikim, to be those who cling for its own sake. I wanted to show you another definition of Chaim, when we say that Torah is the Eitz Chaim, or Chachma is the Eitz Chaim, which comes up in two Gemaras, and it's a slightly different definition, complementary, though not exactly the same. Let's take a look now at source 3. A very, very fundamental source in terms of the Jewish view of prayer. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chanina say, Kohamarech bitzvilaso, anybody who davens in a very intensive, long manner, ein tzvilaso choseres rekam. Their tzvila will not go back empty. Meaning the implication is, if you really daven intensively, Hashem will answer. Minolan, how do we know? Mimoshe Rabbeinu. From Moshe Rabbeinu, shenemar, v'ad kalel el Hashem, Uktiv Matrei, Hashem said, I daven to Hashem, and then the Torah says, Vayishma Hashem Elai Gam Bapam Ahi. Hashem answered me also at this time. Now, of course, Moshe is perhaps the greatest example of not necessarily the tefillah which is answered, but the tefillah which is not answered. Vayetchananel Hashem Ba'eta Hile Mor, right? Vayomer Hashem Elai Rablach, Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavar Hazeh. So whereas the Gemara is trying to bring an example for Moshe, that says that the longer and more intensively you daven, the more likely you are to be answered. Of course, the Pshat and the Psukim in another instance tells us just the opposite, which is exactly where the Gemara goes. V'ha'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, do not we have another tradition? Kol hamarich bitzvilaso. Anybody who davens very long, umi'ayen ba, and looks after it. Le'ayen means to look into. Rashi explains here what this means is you immediately start looking, is God going to answer my prayer? You daven very long, and you say to yourself, will God answer? Will God answer? I want God to answer. I want what I davened for. What will happen in such a case? So, ba lidei ke'ev lev. the result will be that you'll have terrible heartache, because what will happen? Hashem won't answer, and you'll have this terrible heartache. You daven, you daven, you daven, this one should get better, that one should get better. And Rachmanis, it didn't happen. And all you got is ke'ev lev, heartache. So you have to be careful, says Rabbi Chiya, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shenemar, tochelas, mimushcha, machlas lev. Mimashcha, I should say. That if you extend out the davening, this is the way it's understood, it will cause the sickness of the heart. Meaning, this is a challenge to the initial statement of the Gemara, that elongating your tefillah is always a good thing. Gemara says if you elongate your tefillah and you're always checking, is Hashem going to answer? That can lead to terrible heartache. There are no guarantees. You can't read God's mind. In the middle of source 3, there's no guarantee that Hashem will answer your tefillah. My tachanase, so what should a person do who finds himself in such a rut where he's davening very long and he doesn't feel like Hashem is answering and he has terrible ke'ev lev, heartache and heartsick? What's the answer? Yasof b'Torah. Better he should study Torah as a corrective measure. Shene'emar, ve'etzchayim ta'avava ve'en etzchayim ala Torah, shenemar etzchayim hi la'machzikim ba. The Torah, when we say it's an etzchayim, it's also a source of life almost in a corrective sense. This individual who had this kind of a spiritual imbalance, nothing was wrong with him, but he got into a rut, a spiritual religious rut, where he's davening, he's davening, he's davening, he's not getting what he wants, and he's getting more and more heartsick. And the Gemara says, you know how you pull yourself out of that? How do you break out of this slump? Just learn Torah. I want to try and explain what that means. So what's the relationship between learning Torah and breaking yourself out of this pattern? First, I want to finish the Gemara because it's important. So far, we're left with a contradiction. The Gemara started off by saying you should daven very long and that'll be a good thing. And you're more likely to be answered. And then the Gemara said you have to be careful because sometimes you can daven, you daven, you can daven, and you don't get what you want. You get more and more heartsick. So which one is it? Long, not long? What should our approach be? So the Gemara answer is lokasha. There's no contradiction. If you daven very long, and at the same time you think, as Rashi explains, because I daven long, Hashem will certainly answer me, that's a bad, bad idea. We do not have any claim on God. God does not have to do what we ask. God can listen to us. We'd like Him to listen to us. He can be influenced by our tefillos. But we don't have that kind of guarantee. We don't have God's phone number, and it's arrogant to think that we do. That's what the Gemara is saying. Ha, demarich, just a second, though. Ha, demarich, below na'ayin ba. But you know what's good? To daven for a long time, but not necessarily to immediately follow up and ask for your answer. As the Gemara goes on to say, Am Rabbi Cham, Rabbi Chanina, Imra, Adam, Sheet, Palo, Velo, Na'aneh. The person sees that he davened and he didn't get what he was looking for. Yachzor v'yitpalel. You always are invited to daven again. Shenemar, kaveil Hashem. Yearn to God. Chazak, be strong. V'yameitz levecha. And be of courageous heart. V'kaveil Hashem. And then again, go. So the Gemara concludes the following. There's nothing wrong ever with offering an additional tefillah. There's nothing wrong for that. Nothing wrong with that at all. What is wrong is offering an additional tefillah and then expecting a quid pro quo. You don't have that kind of ownership on God. Now, in the midst of all this very important Gemara regarding tefillah, because we just established something really fundamental, which is the Jewish perspective on repetitive and what seems like redundant prayer, the Gemara said, if you find yourself in a rut where you're the type of religious personality where you're davening and then you want something, you don't get it, and you get heartsick, and you find yourself in that kind of a rut, pull yourself out of that by doing what? By clinging to the Eitz Chaim L'machazikin Ba'al, by learning Torah. Now, what does that mean? How is study of Torah, in the conception of the Gemara, a corrective measure? So what I think the Gemara is really saying is it's not just about a paradigm shift between Tzvila and Torah, it's about an entire shift in attitude and perspective. What the Gemara is really saying is you have to change your religious personality. It's not healthy to be the kind of religious personality that relates to God as a very sophisticated kind of ATM machine. And saying, if I just make my spiritual investments, if I continue to deposit, I will be able to take out exactly what I put in or what I want. That's an unhealthy relationship. You want to know what a really good relationship with God is? Study the Torah that He gave us, enrich yourself as a person, and let that be your reward. That will enhance your quality of life. Yes, Bella?
But if God doesn't answer, it's also an answer.
Exactly, that can also be an answer. The Gemara here is speaking about getting the answer that you want, but that's for sure true, and that always goes without saying. Is that God listened, God heard, and God answered?
God says no.
Exactly, 100%, which is always a possibility. So I think what the Gemara here is saying is, if you're looking for chaim, if you're looking for true quality of life, You really have to be smart about how you look for that. There are two ways of looking for that. You could say, well, I want quality of life, and therefore I'm going to ask God for X, Y, and Z, but you may or may not get it. Or you could ask for quality of life in a different way, and that we have as a guarantee. Be machzik in Torah. That's your guaranteed chayim. That's your guaranteed quality of life. Because by clinging lishma to the values therein, that's a guarantee, because if a person says, informs his personality on the basis of, you know what I want more than anything else, I want to be a value-oriented person, I want to be a decent person, I want to be a thoughtful person, if that's what a person wants, there we have a guarantee. That by immersing yourself and clinging purely to Torah, the result is that kind of high end quality of life. Now, what's interesting is, so the Gemara here is defining Eitz Chaim in terms of it has that corrective capacity to give you the right proportions, the right sense of balance, the right quality of life. The Gemara says this in a different place also. There's one other place in Shas where the Gemara makes this kind of argument. It's in a different context, similar, very analogous point. The Gemara there says that if a person finds that he's one of the Misafrei Lashon Hara, and we all do that, as you know, the Gemara says in a different place, that Hakol Ba'avak Lashon Hara, everybody is involved to a certain extent with Lashon Hara, so this applies to all of us. If you find yourself stumbling over Lashon Hara, so what's the answer? Study Torah, Shenemar Eitz Chaim L'machzikim Ba. So what's the connection? I think it's the same idea. If one is looking for the kind of short-term, stimulation that Lashon Hara gives one, one needs a paradigm shift. Why do people involve themselves in Lashon Hara? If it was so easy not to, none of us would, but we all do. Why? Because there's a thrill, I don't think neuroscientists have defined this precisely yet, but gossip in general comes along with a kind of a thrill, either a voyeuristic thrill, or some kind of a thrill about knowing something which is should have been or is obscured from one up until then. It's a very short-term thrill. As anybody who gossips knows, we all know, that it doesn't make you feel good a week later or 2 weeks later. That's why you need to keep on gossiping, to keep on getting that stimulation. So if that's your sense of chayim, then you're looking in the wrong place. And what the Gemara says, you need a paradigm shift. If you want to look for that kind of true, long-term, substantive stimulation, what we mean by real chayim, real quality of life, where you should look is Torah. Refine yourself to the point where continued immersion in Torah is, as the Gemara in Tanya said, that continued sam ha'chayim, that continued elixir, potion, stimulant of life, because it's always giving you new perspectives. It's always giving you that shot in the arm. Gossip is a very negative, addictive, destructive shot in the arm. The stimulation that comes from Talmud Torah, the right kind of stimulation, can be a much more long-term, substantive, healthy kind of sam ha'chayim. It's the, as I like to say, it's the right kind of fix. Yeah. Bella. Oh, okay, I thought you were gearing up for a question. Okay, good. We don't need to necessarily take care of the Rashi and Tosfos, but those are there if anybody wants to pursue further. The problem that occupied Tosfos is, here we're using the term iyun tfilah as a negative thing, looking for an answer. But we say in the morning, as family knows, every morning, right, Elu Dvarim, Shadam Ofel, Perotam, Bolam Hazeb, Karen Kayemet, Lola Olam Haba, Be'elu Hein, and it lifts one of those things as Iyun Tfilah, that Iyun Tfilah is a very good thing. So Tosha says there are two kinds of Iyun Tfilah. One of them is having very high level of Kavana, which is a wonderful thing, and the other one is expecting an answer, which is very destructive. So far what we've said is, the Torah is an Eitz Chaim, according to Chazal, in two different senses. Number one, it's a Sam HaChaim. It provides an increased quality of life for those who cling to it lishma. It becomes a source of refinement and values and perspective, and really enhances one's sense of vitality. I can't stress that enough. We're all looking for stimulation of the right kind, of wanting to not just go through the motions in life and not just go through the doldrums every single day, but really to be stimulated, to truly lead an active, internally and emotionally active life. That's what the Gemara means by Sam HaChayim. Hashem wanted that for us also. Hashem did not want us to live a life where we were merely going through the motions. So the question is, how do we accomplish that? And the answer is, if you cling to Hashem through the means of His Torah, it's chayim hi l'machzikim ba. If you're machzik and davik to Torah, that's the answer for leading a truly active life. That's the first perspective that we saw, and it can't be stressed enough. In the 20th century, one of the most powerful philosophical movements that has a real appeal to it, if you think about it, is the existentialist philosophy that really bloomed with Camus and Sartre, for those who have read The Plague or The Stranger. It's a very important, thought-provoking books, and what they really speak about is this idea that what's the meaning of our daily life? It's a completely absurd, our existence, this crisis of meaning that man is always struggling against. And it was to that crisis of meaning that the Torah responded by saying, it's chayim hi, this is the source of your chayim, this is the purpose and orientation. Ki him chayenu ve'orach yameinu, this is our life, and this is that which is meant to give order, structure, purpose, enrichment, and vitality and energy to our quality of life, so that we pose that same question posed by the existentialists, but we answer it with a resounding, it's chayim hi l'machzikim ba, atam advekim b'shem lokechem, chayim kochem hayom. That was the first sort of chayim that we saw. The second meaning of chayim that we saw was that it had as a corrective capacity, that if we find ourselves slipping into short-term searches for improved quality of life, either misapre lashon hara, by looking for a short-term boost in terms of gossiping, or looking for a short-term boost, you know, by asking God for X, Y, or Z and hoping to get it, and that's going to answer our problems, then what the Chachamim, what Chazal would have us do, is reorient ourselves to a more long-term, stable kind of source of meaning, which is serious engagement with Torah. Because there it's a guarantee. Shpilo, we don't have any guarantees. Maybe our plan isn't God's plan. But if you really want a guaranteed quality of life increase, orient yourself towards the values of Torah. Right? Don't look for the short-term boost in terms of gossiping, misafrei lashon hara. Sometimes don't even look for the short-term boost in terms of tefillah. If you really want an enhanced quality of life, look to Torah. It's a radical but incredibly incredibly important argument that Chazal are making. I now want to develop the pasuk even further by highlighting a contrast between the two halves of the pasuk. We said it's chayim hi l'machazikim ba. It is a tree of life for those who are machzik, and we have defined being machzik as clinging dearly, namely lishma, not for your own purposes, but because one wants to get closer to Torah. V'tomcheha, and those who support the Torah, Mi'ushar, should be praised. Now, the Malbim developed a contrast between the religious personalities of the Machazikim and those who are Tomcheha, those who are the supporters of Torah. The Malbim develops a fascinating contrast that I just wanted to dwell on for a moment here. If you take a look at source 4, yes, Bella, of course.
Tomcheha means you give money to charity.
That, I would say, is probably the pshat. The pshat seems to be, right, those who are in the proverbial sense, those who are zivulun. As you know, the famous Medrash in Gemara, which speaks about smach zivulun v'tzeitacha v'yisachar v'olacha, that the brothers, the two last children of Leah, were Zvulun and Yisachar. And Yisachar learned Torah, and Zvulun was the financier, the businessman who supported him. As the pasuk says, Semach Zvulun v'tzeitacha, Zvulun, rejoice in your excursions, in your business trips, v'Yisachar, and Yisachar rejoiced the Ohalacha in your studies. Meaning both of you are doing l'chatchila, both of you are doing what is ideal for each of you. And as the Medrash says, Zebulun is listed first in the Pasuk because it was his contribution that potentiated the study of Yisachar. Very, very important Medrash, that each person has to be the best Zebulun they can, the best Yisachar they can. Zebulun was good at what he did. Yisachar was wonderful at what he did. And as Bella says, that could be the Pshat in the Pasuk. V'tomchaha, those who support the Torah, Me'ushar, should be praised. What's interesting is the Malbim doesn't take it in that direction. I certainly thought about that, though. I think it's a wonderful. I didn't see any of the classical Rishonim interpret it that way, but I think it is a very much a pshat reading of the Pasuk. So I happen to agree with you. The Malbim, yeah.
But Zebulun is more important what he does than what the...
I wouldn't say more important. Not more important. They're both equally important. As the Mishnah in Abu says, Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. Ein Torah, Ein Kemach. If there's no Kemach, if there's no financial support, Ein Torah. And the other way too, Ein Torah, if there's no Torah, Ein Kemach, there's no point to Kemach. What's the point of simply sustaining life for its own sake? We're not here to be animals, to live and to eat and to digest it. We're here to accomplish, to be moral creatures. So, Ein Torah, Ein Kemach. That's why they're both equally important. Of course, in a certain sense, Torah is more important because it represents the ultimate purpose of which values we're here for. But in a certain sense, and this is what I was saying, the reason that Zebulun comes first in the Pasuk is because we have to be Makir Tov. If it wasn't for Zebulun, Yisachar physically could not exist. He wouldn't have any food to eat. He'd die. If it wasn't for Yisachar, Zebulun could exist, but he wouldn't have a meaningful existence. That's why we put Zebulun in the Pasuk first, because Yisachar's actual existence depends on Zebulun. It's a way of being Makir Tov. That's what the Medrash says. So the Malbim has a different interpretation. Again, what he's trying to do is make a distinction between Machazikim and Tomcha. And here he makes a distinction between two different religious personalities, which is very essential. It's Chaim Yila Machazikim Ba, says the Malbim source for. Yesh Tzadik V'yesh Kovish. There is the religious personality of the Tzadik, who almost, it seems, is not tempted by sin. Of course, everyone is tempted by sin. As Shlomo HaMelech said, "Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yechta." There is no perfect tzaddik, but it means somebody who generally is less tempted towards sin, and we all know that this is true. Meaning, of course, everybody has a yetzer tov and yetzer hara. That goes without saying. But what is important to realize is that there are various levels of inclination to do ra. Right? Some people are given a much more difficult challenge than others in a variety of different areas in life. You name the area, there are different levels of struggle. That's a fact. So he says, Yesh Tzadik, there are those who seemingly have less of an inclination to do evil, V'yesh Kovesh, and there are those who are able to conquer their Yetzer Hara, their desire to do that which is immoral. Hatzadik, who is the righteous man? Who Misha Tava Teva, excuse me, Libo, Notela Chachma. He is very natural. He's a virtuoso when it comes to clinging to the moral wise path. Ve'ein Yitzro Masiso Labor al Hukeha. He is hardly tempted to violate the precepts of wisdom. Ve'hakovesh, and the one who has to conquer as well, who Misha Tibo Notela Ra, the person who is inclined towards the less moral path, Raku Kovesh is Yitzro, but he is able to conquer his Yetzer. Al Pizeh Omer, that's why Kohelas addressed both of these categories. Shehi Eitz Chayim L'machazikim Ba. Dehainu HaKovesh. You know what we mean by Eitz Chayim L'machazikim? Who are the machazikim? Those who hold on for dear life. Those who have to cling to Torah with every fiber of their strength. Those are the ones who are not naturals, who have to fight very hard every single day, every single hour to do the right thing. Shehu amachzik ba'bal korcha ki'ilu achach matirtza li'parid mimenu kitibo mitnageba raku machzik ba'bechol az or bechol oz ve'ina manicha latzeis ki'ukovesh es yitzro. When we say it's chayim l'machazikim ba, we say those who cling to it, because if they didn't cling to it, it would run away from them. They wouldn't be able to do the right thing if they didn't fight for it with every fiber of their being. Torah for them is an Eitz Chaim. V'tomchaha mi'ushar, and those who only need to support the Torah, they didn't need to hold on with every fiber of their being. Hainu mishahu tsheteva libo, bilti mitnagedo l'chokhma. The person who's the inclination of their heart is not at odds with chokhma. Shezei no tzarech lahafzik ba balkorcha rak litmochota hu mi'ushar. The one who is basically inclined to do the right thing, so he doesn't have to be mazik Torah, you know, like to hold on to it with every fiber in his being because every minute is a war. He just has to be tomei chota, he has to support it. So the Malbim is it's a very interesting interpretation. What he's really saying here is that you have different kinds of religious personalities. You know, as William James wrote, the varieties of religious experience. So here, the Malbim is writing about two different types. The machazikim, those who, you know, every day is the religious and spiritual war, and you don't know what battles they're fighting. And those who are more natural. And he says the Torah, you know, is there for both of them. It's an Eitz Chaim for those who are mafsik, those who have to fight every second to hold on for dear life, those who have to cling, and Tomcheha, and those who don't need to cling as tightly, those who merely need to support, he's saying, to hold on to, but you don't need to hold on as tightly because it's not going anywhere, Mi'ushar, they should be praiseworthy. So what I'm interested in the Malbim is just, again, what he's saying is that, you know, religious life encompasses very different kinds of experiences. There are those for whom the challenges are less, there are those for whom the challenge is greater. And what he's saying is, in this pasuk, we're addressing both of those groups, that Torah is relevant to both of them. Echad amarbe v'echad amamid, the one whose you know, challenge is great and the one whose challenge is less are being addressed in this pasuk. I just wanted to add one point, which is that in a lot of ways in life, there are, you know, it doesn't have to be two different people. One who's a machzik, one who has to fight every second, every day to do the right thing, one who's more of a natural. But it could even be the same person in two different areas. And I think that this really describes our experience. That in some areas we're machzikim, we have to fight for every inch. It's not a natural area for us. And in some areas we're more natural, we're the tomchaha. And what we have to do is in each area know our strengths and weaknesses, try to capitalize on our strengths and overcome our weaknesses. There are some for whom doing chesed is a natural. And they you see it, they gravitate towards the interpersonal dimensions of Torah. Gravitate. Mishloach manos, they can't get enough. If 100 mishloach manos, tzedakah, you can't find that tzedakah is not involved in. Chesed, unbelievable. Yet when it will come to something else, maybe it's tefillah, maybe it's Talmud Torah, every inch is a struggle. We have to know that. Capitalize on the strengths, capitalize on the chesed natural strengths, overcome the weaknesses, or vice versa. You have people, you know, you put them in a base medrash, it's like they're a fish in water. They love it, swimming, can't get enough. Chesed, you put them in front of somebody who's not exactly in their station or place in life, fish out of water, hardly make a conversation, hardly seem interested. They're tomcha, they're the naturals for the Talmud Torah, but every inch is a struggle. As if it were World War I on the Western Front, every inch is a struggle in the realm of chesed. You have different aspects to a person. What we have to do is remind ourselves always, capitalize on strengths, overcome weaknesses. That's what the Malbim points to, that it's chayim hila machazikim ba v'tomcha mi'ushar are really two different groups of people. I wanted to conclude with a thought of my own that I had this week. You can take it or leave it. No great authorities, to my knowledge, have said this. So, you know, if you like it, great. And if not, you know, you have all the classical things that we studied today to make sure that you could say you learned some Torah this evening. I think that there's actually a dialectic, a kind of dichotomy, if you will, which exists in this pasuk, based on everything that we said today. It's chayim hi, the Torah is an incredible source of quality of life, l'machzikim ba, to those who hold fast to it. As we said, in terms of the Gemara, if you cling to Hashem and to Torah lishma, with no ulterior motive, if you do that, then Torah can be an incredible sustainer, an anchor and source of support for you, a constant source of values, and perspective and meaning. In other words, Torah is the quintessential sustaining force in life. Torah sustains us. It gives us a life that could be described as Chaim Kol Chamayom. It gives us a life that can be described as Eitz Chaim. A true active life, a truly meaningful, happy, wonderful life. Torah sustains us. But then the second half of the Pasuk says, not only does Torah sustain and support us, but v'tomchaha, those who support and sustain Torah mi'ushar, should be praised. To paraphrase, but to add to what JFK said, the second half of the Pasuk isn't saying, the second half of the Pasuk really is saying, don't ask only what Torah can do for you. But you have to ask sometimes what you need to do, what you can do for Torah. You have to be amongst those that Torah sustains and supports. If you cling to Torah, you truly, truly immerse yourself in it. Machzikim ba, osek b'Torah lishma, as the Gemara in Tanya says, Torah will support you, it will sustain you, it will give you great meaning. But we're all out there in a very complex and challenging world where the interests and the values of Torah are often at risk and under grave threat. And in those situations in which we find ourselves, it's incumbent upon us to be amongst those who support and defend the interests of Torah. V'tomchaha, and those who support Torah, not only financially, but with their time and their energy and their investment in many different ways to support the interests of Torah, mi'ushar, should also be praised. Torah will sustain us, but we must also sustain it. Torah will protect us and anchor us, but we must also protect and anchor it. It's this dichotomy which I think the Pasuk speaks to so beautifully. It will be our Eitz Chaim, but we must also be its Tomchim. We're both the beneficiaries of Torah and its guardian and custodians. Just to